You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Charles Gross Jr. with Breakthrough Investor, where we help you break through that next level as an investor. And with me today is William Palmer, real estate investor, coach, and the amazing co-host of Breakthrough Investor. William, what's up, brother? How wonderful are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Charles. Super excited, as always, to be here with you and really looking forward to chatting with our guests. We both know our guests and have met on several occasions, particularly at RubeCon. So really looking forward to getting to kind of have a glimpse into her journey into real estate investing and entrepreneurship.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Today's guest, she's just awesome. And she's those kind of persons when you meet her, she's so genuine. And she helps so many people. Like, she's the author of The Mindful Millionaire. Awesome book. You all have to check it out. And she's releasing some more books soon. Another one is coming up pretty soon. And she's going to tell you all about that. So you definitely, you know, like for right now, like you definitely need to read The Mindful Millionaire. Awesome book, William.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you haven't read that one, you're really going to want to read the new one that's coming out. We're not going to give away too much. That's up to her. But we're looking forward to reading it. I know I am. And I know she's going to be hopefully having a couple of copies at RubeCon 25. So totally be looking forward to picking one up there.
Absolutely. And the cool thing too, William, is I know our listeners are going to want more, right? They're going to want to hear more. So she has a podcast, which is awesome. I love it. And some of the guests she brings on add so much value to your life. It's the Mindful Millionaire and Art of Abundance podcast. And it is awesome. Like, it's just so amazing. Like, you know, the amount of people that she helped. And, you know, I've met some of these people at our events and everything. And everyone who met her, anyone who she's crossed paths with, all have amazing things to say about her.
Absolutely. She just has, and it's really in how she presents herself, but she has an abundance mindset. And that's really, she teaches people this, she coaches people on this, and helps people get financial success through entrepreneurship, business, and real estate investing. So she's got a wealth of knowledge and really just loves to help people. It's very apparent from the moment that you meet her that she's very interested in what you're doing and how she can help you.
Absolutely, man. And there's so many things we could say, like, you know, oh my goodness, like we got her waiting so long. Well, that is her fault, ladies and gentlemen, because she has a long resume. Like, we haven't even hit, like, this is like, we probably hit like maybe what, 1% of everything.
Yeah. This is, we don't want this to be a podcast episode just of the resume. So we actually need to hear from her.
Absolutely. So without further ado, help me welcome to the show, Lisa Peterson. Lisa, how wonderful are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I could just listen to you guys talk. You are very interesting. And this is really fun. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, yeah. Lisa, we're always happy to talk to you, seriously. And I mean, we're so blessed to just to meet you and see you at our events, at other events. Like, we literally just saw you at FinCon a few months ago. And so it's just so amazing. Like, you know, we cross paths at the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference, and we just get to see you on podcasts and in person. So thank you again for coming to the show. And I know our listeners, they are eager to hear your story. So Lisa, why don't you let our listeners know how did you all get started? Where did your journey as an investor start?
So I want to say one thing before I dive into that. And I was just talking to Dustin the other day, and I told him that my experiences at FinCon were so much better because of the RubeCon crew. Like, y'all made it. So I just love being in your presence and the things that we learned together and hanging out and the genuine spirit of kindness. So I just want to start by that. But I will say I have been investing in real estate for over 30 years with my husband. He's a general contractor. And we started building our first home to move into in 1992. And we have done maybe 15 projects over that time, whether it be remodels or ground up construction, or, you know, then eventually commercial real estate, Airbnbs that we have now. Now we've been doing home exchange, which is a whole cool thing that avoids like taxes and allows us to travel around the world. But I just want to say to everyone, like, we're drinking the real estate Kool-Aid. We have for a long time. One of our core strategies for building wealth and allowing us to retire, I think we could have retired in our mid-40s, but I didn't totally believe it. So it was more like our mid-50s, but we could have done it, has been being able to live in houses that we've built from the ground up or done remodels on, and then sell those and be able to avoid, you know, capital gain taxes on $500,000 and socking that away and being able to build wealth over time. So that's been one of our key strategies to give us a great deal of freedom. Everyone's got their own flavor with real estate, you know, like we all just find that thing that works for us, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that's really worked for us. But I'm also a coach. I am an author. I was a financial advisor for many years, and I've worked in the financial business for a long time. I'm a certified financial planner. At least I earned that designation, MBA in finance. Like, I love, just like you said, Charles, empowering people. Really, like, I want to say level the playing field. I didn't come from money. One of my greatest passions is helping people like myself who may not have been exposed to like how to get involved in real estate, how to invest in the stock market, how to build, not just earn money, but actually take that money and hold on to it and have that money working for you so that you don't have to work as hard. So those are the things I'm super passionate about. How's that?
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like bridging that gap between what they think they cannot attain and actually making it attainable for them, like giving them, showing them that it can be done. And your strategy is pretty unique. I mean, it's, I kind of call it trading up. I don't know if that's the right term, but that's the one pops in my head. And that's a really great real estate strategy. And it seems like you've been pretty successful with that. Was that based on a lot of consistency and just really sticking with it, not varying too far from the end goal?
It's always been the place that we make the most money with the least amount of risk. And my husband and I are not big risk takers, and we really don't enjoy property management. Like, we like living in that house. We like making it awesome and perfect so that when somebody buys it, they are so happy with what they've bought. Like, that suits our personalities. But when we had a commercial building here in Sedona, and we get these calls on the weekends, or maybe not in the middle of the night, but still felt like that, you know, Saturday afternoon at 6 o'clock felt pretty dark for us. You know, it's like our toilet's not working, the air conditioning's not working. Like, we are not good at that. That did not work for us. And typically, the margins that we have had in those businesses have not supported paying a manager. So we've been the one who does that. And my husband's, you know, somebody who can fix things. So we just had to figure out, like, we can make more money. This is less stress. We can do this. And now my husband even said the other day, I thought we were done. And he's like, you know, I like having a project. Like, I like being working on something like this. And I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. If you don't mind working on another project, like, we're about to sell a house that we built a few years ago. We will exceed that capital tax. Like, we will be paying taxes on the gains because it was so, you know, good in the timing that we did it. And that works, you know, that works for us.
That's so cool. And it's so amazing how, like, a lot of times, like, when we start our investing journey, it's just so amazing to hear, you know, how everyone started. Like, you know, it just so happened that, you know, your husband, you know, did that construction work, and y'all took a situation and figure out how to make the best of it for me, right? Even though you didn't, and I know, you know, your amazing story, like how you, you know, didn't grow up, you know, wealthy, didn't, the things that the life you have today is not the life you were living when you were younger. And so what did that journey look like to get to that point to say, hey, I can do this. I can build wealth. I can build generational wealth for my family. I don't always have to be the poor girl who grew up in this area. What was that, like, transformation journey like, from transforming from the old Lisa, you know, poor, or, you know, without money, to Lisa today?
Even though I had studied and gotten my MBA in my early 20s, I still didn't have any mentors or people that would really teach me this stuff. And I'll never forget that I, in the mid 90s, we did not have the internet. We did not have all these resources that people are so blessed to have today. And I was working for State Farm Insurance Company, and I made a friendship with an attorney at the time. And this attorney continues to inspire me to this day, because I've actually worked part of his story into my new fictional parable, but he did something really cool. And so I guess he became a mentor in that one thing he had read, Your Money or Your Life by Vicki Robin and Joe Dominguez, back when it first came out in like 1993. He had already had a plan before I met him to retire by the time he was 45, which was pretty aggressive at that time. Now people talk about that, but back then, the conspicuous consumption hole that people get caught in, you know, of like keeping up with the Joneses, was people didn't even talk about it. They just did it. And so he was not going to be that person. And so he just started telling me things like pay yourself first and have a 72-hour rule where you don't spend money, even though you want to. Wait until those 3 days have passed before you buy something that you really, really want. Like, he started telling me these things. I read the book. I started reading Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I started learning what I could from books. And I think what ended up happening is I was like, well, these people didn't necessarily have money starting out. Like, so what's the difference between them and me? Not much. Like, I just have to figure this out, and I am going to try. The other thing that had happened to me in college that also, like, it's these little people and situations you find yourself in. A friend of mine, closest friend that I met in college, her father was an entrepreneur, and he was building a very successful company that would also ultimately be sold for more money than we can even talk about, just crazy amounts of money. But I would go and hang out with her, and her father was very comfortable with his wealth and very comfortable with, like, in Los Angeles, he would take us out to the most expensive restaurants, and we would be surrounded by celebrities, and people would be nice to us and act like we must be a celebrity, which in your early 20s, you know, you're just like, of course I'm sitting next to Cher, and I'm sitting next to like the most famous people. Like, Donna Summer was like sitting next to us at a dinner table once, and I'm like, I've died and gone to heaven, because it's like 80s. This is taking me back to the 80s.
Way back.
And I remember thinking, like, I have got to get me some of this. Like, I want to be rich. Like, this is the only way to live. And so there were some pivotal things that helped me. And sure enough, my friend, he did retire by the time he was 45, and he would drive like the ugliest car. He had this Toyota that was like, paint was chipping, and he's like,
every story like this.
And all the guys drove like Corvettes or like super expensive, you know, sports cars. I mean, the best BMWs and Mercedes. And he would have this car, and they gave him a hard time. They're like, how could you do this? You make our law firm look like we're not legit when you show up in that car. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going to retire by the time I'm 45. And so being around people like that definitely told me that it wasn't going to be like magic just falling from the sky. Like, I was going to have to work for it, but anything was possible. And that really affected me.
Sounds like he really lived that, live like nobody else now, so I can live like nobody else later.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's amazing how the people you hang out with can shape your whole future, right? And like, the saying is so true. Like, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with, right? And it's so amazing how that inspires you. And I think, you know, I think I know for sure, that's a good nugget for like those of you listening right there. Look, like, Lisa, literally, she was hanging around people who achieved a level of success that she wanted to achieve. And that helped her to realize it, to visualize it. I remember for me growing up in the Bahamas, you know, as a poor island boy. And I remember some of the influences that I had in my life. So, you know, I remember some of my friends that they had owned all the Burger Kings and KFCs, and they literally live in a castle. Like, people call it the Burger King castle. And that was so inspiring for me. So, Lisa, as you were talking, like that brought back so much memories of me, like, going to their castle, like, because my mom used to do the woman's hair at there. And so they were friends of ours. And so it was just amazing. And it inspired me from a young age to build that lifestyle, to build that wealth. And so this is like, as you were talking, I brought back so much memories And so I think that's a key point that you mentioned, Lisa, is how hanging with those people, it really helps you to visualize that lifestyle. Because Lisa, would you say like visualization is a part of the process of like changing your mindset? Would you say that?
Yeah, we haven't even really touched on the fact that my book is about teaching people about like the blocks that they have inside of them that cause them to keep doing the things that cause them to be broke or cause them to live in scarcity. And my passion is about like, what sorts of shifts do we have to make in our lives so that we can create more abundance? And it's based on my own journey, because even though we were wealthy, and I mentioned when I talked about it just as we started, like we had enough money at 45 to have been retired, but I didn't believe it because I was so trapped in scarcity that I thought, no, you have to keep working. You have to keep, you know, working for the man, right? And the J-O-B. Like I didn't think I could leave and still be okay financially, even though we were okay. And so what, back to your question, like, what do we need to do? And here's what I would say, like as a blanket, and you can ask me more questions if you want. In anything in life that we want more of, or we want to have, you know, an abundance of, whether that be money or like a beautiful, loving relationship with our, you know, partner or our friends or our kids, like we have to take out the trash as it pertains to the thoughts that we have about that thing. Mm-hmm. So like a lot of people have a lot of negative stories about money, and they think that they can go build a lot of wealth while they keep all those limiting negative stories about money. And I'm here to tell you, you might do it, but you're probably going to feel like you sold your soul to the devil to do it, because it's going to be filled with struggle. You're going to have to be out of integrity to do things. Like you're going to get it from a scarce form rather than abundant form, which is when you take out the trash of our mind, our thoughts, our beliefs, when you get rid of that stuff, that's when you enter into flow. And flow changes everything. Flow is magical. Flow is synchronicity. Flow is opportunity. Flow is not just relying on like you and your ego self, but like trusting in the divine, trusting in the universe, trusting in this infinite power that flows through, you know, we're looking at your backdrop, the wind and the nature and all the beautiful things on the planet. So there you go.
That's awesome. Rant. Oh, no, this is awesome. Like Lisa, because as you're saying this, like y'all only getting a taste of Lisa right now. I'm telling y'all, definitely check out her podcast and go to her events, because I can tell you, I remember meeting Lisa at the first Real Estate Wealth Builders, the RubeCon event. And Lisa did something different than what the other speakers did. She had us to really go on that journey of figuring out, you know, what are our limiting beliefs? What are our fears? What are our worries? And had us, you know, in that moment to like really like close our eyes and really like to like stop and reflect. And that was so different. I like that so much, because I know for me, that helped me, William. I remember you were there too, William, at RubeCon One. And so
absolutely. And I mean, I think I'm like most people, where really when you start investing, the fear that most of us have to get over is the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. And one thing I have realized in investing so far, it's not, you shouldn't have the fear of failure. It's the fear of not getting back up and continuing to do what you want to do, and letting that fear be the determining factor in whether or not you're going to succeed. There's a lot to be said about persevering and pushing through, and changing that mindset and getting that abundance mindset is absolutely pivotal in real estate investing and just in life in general.
And William, you know, also just speaking about that fear, you know, we talk about all these awesome things, Lisa, but you had some fears in your life. You had some hurdles that you had to overcome. I've heard those. And that's one of the cool things about this podcast, is we get to dig into those things to really help our audience break through whatever they're going through. So Lisa, was there any moment in your life that you'd like to share with our audience? Maybe something, you know, where you experienced a limiting belief, maybe a moment where you almost gave up. Would you like to share something like that and let us know how you got through it?
Yeah, I feel like I am the queen of these sorts of situations. There's so many. Oh my gosh. But I'll tell you one that was coming to mind, and it was recent. Okay. And you know, how we do one thing, as Harvard says, like, is how we do everything. I really feel that, you know, it's a theme. But I was invited by my publisher to write a new book about abundance, because that's what I'm known for. And it was really an honor. And I was excited about it. And I started working on it. And long story short, they wanted a nonfiction book, but somehow a fictional parable channeled through me. And when I gave them that information, that wasn't what they were wanting. And I'll say, from a publisher standpoint, a fictional parable is more risky than just writing a nonfiction book. Like, do this, do this, do this. Instead, there's a story. The story's got to work. There's got to be an arc. It's got to be a page turner, or people won't keep reading it. Like, there's a lot of places to fail. So over the summer, after the book, my book, new book, was kind of finished in its first draft, I gave it to them. I gave it to my agent. And you guys, like, it was brutal. Like, wow. If I am pretty good at rejection, but like, it was a whole new level, let's just say. Like, it was not pretty. And it wasn't because the book wasn't going to have potential. It just was not the right thing for either of those people. Mm-hmm. And my agent was pretty tough on me. And I got to the point where I was like, maybe I'm just totally fooling myself. Like, you know, and they were kind of tight. They weren't so great even about like The Mindful Millionaire. Keep in mind, The Mindful Millionaire has sold more than 15,000 books. I don't know the latest number. Less than 3% of all books sell that many copies. But because we did a deal, they wanted more sales than that, they're not as happy about it. Like, I'm a failure, even though I'm not really a failure. You know what I mean? But so I realized in the course of this back and forth, the part of the reason I had waited so long to write a new book is I was so afraid of failure, of like trying again and not having it work. And now I finally get that energy back. I'm like so excited about this book. I'm like, this is going to help so many people, like millions of people will be able to relate to this book around the world. And then they don't want it. And I was like, holy cow. Like, I don't even know if I can recover from this. And we've all been there. I'm sure we've all been there. And what disappointed me more than anything was the realization that I was actually holding back in writing my next book because I was so afraid of failure. But here's where I am now, several months later. Not only did I take that energy and channel it into, you know what, this is really good. And I am not going to let somebody else who doesn't understand how good this is stop me. And I'm going to take all that energy and I'm going to actually make the book even better than I think it was going to be, you know, three or 4 months ago. I'm just going to totally put it all on the table and make sure, or leave nothing on the floor. I don't know. There's a funny saying, but I feel like the book has become so much better because of that difficulty of really questioning whether or not I could do it. And I even came to the point where I realized, and this is back to like, leave the job, leave the security of all those stupid systems that we think we need to be successful. I was like, well, what's the scariest thing that could happen? Oh, not only do you not publish this with a publisher, you become your own publisher. Like, you go out and you put the whole system together. Like, that was actually my scariest fear. Mm. And then I was like, well, why don't I just take that on? Take the like scariest thing on. And once I really leaned into it, I was like, I have the publicity, I have the channels, I have the networking, I have all the stuff that I need. Yes. I am fully resourced to do this. And
yes,
it could work, it might not, but I'm willing to go all in regardless of what anybody else thinks, except my clients. My clients love the work. They are the ones who matter. The people that help me create, like, they're my buffer. They're the ones who let me know if I'm on the right track. And that's all that matters.
That's awesome. William, every time Lisa talks, is like, something always like hits home for me too. Cause oh my gosh, I kind of experienced the same thing in my first book, like feeling like a failure. And that caused me to hold back for many years. And so thank God we have Lisa. Oh my goodness. I know, I feel like your next book is going to inspire me to write again. Yay! I love it. Oh my goodness. Awesome. And this, and you know something too, you know, Lisa shared that story, how she overcame, how she broke through those fears, those limiting beliefs that, yes, I can write another book. Yes, I have the resources, right? Just that whole abundance mindset kicked in and took over. And that can be applied to so many other areas, you know, whether you're trying to scale to the next level of your business whether, you know, whatever it is, you can take that same type of mindset that Lisa had. So I love it, Lisa. Like I said, every time we speak, I always get something. But Lisa, man, is more than likely, maybe we missed something. Maybe there's something that we didn't share that could help our audience. Is there anything else you'd like to share to help our audience become a breakthrough investor just like you?
So I also want to share that I recently had sent it to a publisher and they came back and they really, really want the book. And I was able to say, actually, no, I think I want to publish it on my own.
What a feeling that must be.
Yeah. Like, this is getting good. I think the biggest thing that I will just say to folks who are living in one reality and they want a different reality, number one is like, do not stop until you get a taste of what it is you're looking for. Because oftentimes what I see, and I explain this to a lot of people, because I do so much mindset work, like I really help people get over their mindset blocks. But the problem for many people is they have never had a super quick experience of looking at life one way on one day and the next day looking at life in a completely different way. Like they don't believe it's possible that they could have a series of beliefs that are limiting and harmful and filled with self-doubt. And like just from reading a book, The Mindful Millionaire, you know, listening to this conversation or doing something that causes them to like look inside and take full ownership for the good and the kind of shadowy stuff that a lot of us want to point away. But you can let that stuff go and you're probably going to have to let it go to create a new reality. But I just want you to hear me that I have done that over and over and over in my life to the point where I'm like, I am just one breath away from something that's holding me back now and it no longer holding me back tomorrow. Like we can change very fast as humans, but getting in the flow of knowing how that works and keep going until you get a little taste of it. And then you'll be like, oh, wait. This is good. This is really good. Like my life is going to be so much better as a result of being more curious, being more open, not taking yourself so seriously. Like get over yourself. Just realize that life is meant to be enjoyed and you can have fun. You can have fun making money and you can have fun investing. It's totally better that way. So that's what I want to share.
That's awesome. You're just one breath away. Love it. Oh, I love your quotes, Lisa. So Lisa, this has been absolutely amazing. More than likely, people want to know more about you. They want to follow you. They want to find you online. How can they do that? And also, how can they get a hold of that next book that's coming out soon?
Thank you. A great place to go would be wealthclinic.com/vision. That will give like a meditation, the first chapter of The Mindful Millionaire. I also have a YouTube channel, Mindful Millionaire, and you mentioned the podcast. But the new book is called The Abundance Experiment, One Woman's Quest to Overcome Self-Doubt and to Really Live a Life Without Limits. So that will be out on Mother's Day of 2025. We're working on that now, but I'll probably have more. So come hang out with me and you'll be able to get the play-by-play as we launch that into the world.
Awesome. William, I think we need to bring it back on the show closer.
I agree.
At that time. So we can make sure everyone can get a hold of that new book with more info. So Lisa, it's been absolutely amazing having you on the show. And we're looking forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you.
We're still trying to figure out how to use Zoom.